We learn here from the Sicha of Parshas Emor. One of the points that the Rebbe talks about a lot is the word Geula. That Geula is spelled the same letters as the word Geula. And the difference is Geula has no Aleph in it and the Geula has the Aleph in it. The Rebbe says like this. This idea that there's the Aleph incorporated in the word Geula, actually, and this is the reason why this term is used more than other terms. We spoke about this one of the weeks before, that Geula, redemption, sometimes is V'hitzesi, V'hitzalti, V'lokachti, V'hevesi. So the term that became commonly used more than anything else is the term Geula, for redemption. So the Geula, this idea that the Aleph goes in represents two points. One point is that when Geula comes, it's not going to exclude Golus, but it's going to include the Golus. Just like Begashmis, the Aleph is the letter that changes the meaning to redemption, but the Aleph goes together with the Gimel, with the Vav, with the Lamed, with the Hay, which means the Aleph includes the Golus. That's the point that we spoke about the weeks before, that when Mashiach comes, this is not Chas V'Shalom eliminating the world or worldly things, but it's transforming and elevating and changing and lifting, rather. And which means we're taking along the Golus with us. And there's another point, and that is, you actually cannot spell the word Geula without Gimel Vav Lamed Hey. That means that the Golus is what makes up Geula. In other words, if you look at the word Geula, actually it's made up of five letters, and four out of the five letters spell Golus. What does it mean? That the Geula is a product of the Golus. The Geula is a result and consequences of the Golus. The Golus is what creates the Geula. And we'll soon see how and what this means in practical terms, in Avodah. So the Rebbe says this idea that Geula is not an experience which is removed from the Golus world, but on the contrary, Geula is an experience which is supposed to include and elevate and enhance the Golus. We see this by the first redemption in Mitzrayim as well. As we know that the first redemption is the source of all redemptions, so therefore whatever happens when Mashiach comes, even though it's much greater, but something similar to it has to be already in Mitzrayim. When the Yidden went out of Mitzrayim, it says that they took along with them vessels of gold and vessels of silver and clothing. In fact, they borrowed it from the Egyptians. And the words in the Chumash are "Vayinatzlu es Mitzrayim," which means they emptied out Mitzrayim. Rashi says they made it like a, either like a storage that has no more wheat, or another expression, like a net that has no more fish. Everything was empty. So number one, they took out all the gold. They took out the silver. And also, eight of Rav went along with them. People, Egyptian people went along with them out of Mitzrayim. What does this mean? This shows us that the goal of Mitzrayim wasn't that they left Mitzrayim, but it was a kind of a geula that Mitzrayim itself went out of Golus. That's number one. Another detail in this we find is that it says that the Hashem nasa nascheina om beinu Mitzrayim v'yashilum, which means that Hashem made the Yidden find favor, grace in the eyes of the Egyptians, and the Egyptians willingly lent them their vessels of gold and silver. And Rashi adds, not only they willingly lent it to them, but even lent them vessels that they didn't ask for. If a Jew walked over and said, could I borrow this and this vessel? Fine. Even things they didn't ask for, the Egyptians offered, let me give you this. Then there's another thing where it says in Rashi, or in the Medrash, it says in Gemara that they even gave it to them Balkorcho, which means even if Jews said, fine, I don't want, I have enough already, they said, no, take it, take it. They forced them to take it. That's how willing they were, and that's how much they wanted the Yidden to take the vessels of gold and silver. So the Rebbe asks, why was it that the Egyptians were running after them to give them the golden and silver vessels. The Pashtas, this is not the normal nature of a person to give things away. What was it that was driving them to do it? Plus the fact that even though there was a mitzvah, the mitzvah was that you should borrow things from the Egyptians, but the mitzvah was upon the Yidden, they should borrow from the Egyptians. It wasn't an obligation that the Egyptians have to lend. And the third point is that we see when the Yidden went out of Mitzrayim, it was in a way that Hashem broke the Egyptians. One makkah, what is a makkah? A makkah means a plague. A plague is not transforming, a plague is breaking. He broke the Egyptians, and there was one plague after another plague, and they were injured, and some of them, then they died. All the plagues were made up of things that broke the Egyptians' force. So how come over here we find something different, that Hashem made a miracle that the Egyptians wanted the Yidden to go out of Mitzrayim, and they wanted to help them, and they wanted to give them Klei Kesef Zahav? So this is the Rebbe's answer, that although initially the Mitzrayim was broken, but being that Geula ultimately means not excluding the Golus, but also including the Golus and enhancing the Golus, then Hashem did something which made even the Egyptians went out of their own Golus, so to speak. Which means that the Egyptians recognized Hashem. There's a pasuk where it says, V'yodu Mitzrayim k'ani Hashem. With all these makas, with all these plagues, the Egyptians will recognize and know that I am Hashem. In other words, as the Rebbe explains, yes, there were those Egyptians that were beaten, but then there were those Egyptians that were chachamim, they were wise, and ultimately they understood and recognized what Hashem is all about. And therefore, what came out was, what Hashem wanted was that the Egyptians led the Yidden out of Golus in a way that they did it willingly. And they borrowed, they lent them the kalim, and they forced them to take it. In other words, this indicates that Mitzrayim wasn't completely broken, but was also, even Mitzrayim, which was such a klipa, was also transformed, that they were excited in the sense that they didn't go out of Golus. That's number one. So here we see the idea that the Aleph indicates that Geula includes Golus. We see this in Mitzrayim. What about the second point? The second point, that the word Geula is made up, it's compromised of four letters which spell Golus, meaning that the Geula comes as a result of the Avodah in Golus. Because it says, Ba'avodum v'inu oisam, which means the Yidden were told, Avraham Avinu was told that they're going to be in Golus, and they're going to suffer in Golus. But through this will be the union of the Aliyah going out of Mitzrayim, Achrei Chayin Yetzu Berchush Gadol, which means, the way it's understood literally, they went out with great wealth. Had they not been in Mitzrayim in the first place, they couldn't have gone out with this wealth. So, just like Begashmius, the wealth that they went out with came from Mitzrayim only as a result of going and descending into Mitzrayim. That means that the redemption and all the glory of the redemption comes as a result of the Golus. It's not that we're in Golus and then Hashem lifts the chains and lets us out. But what Golus is all about is a product of the Avodah in Golus. So for this we understand that the same will be when Mashiach comes, that both things will happen. In fact, when Mashiach comes, it will be in a greater measure. Number one, when Mashiach comes, everything in the world today and all the things in our lives, they won't be excluded, but they'll be included in the redemption. They too will come along. Remember the other week, we chazed a sikh from the Rebbe, where the Rebbe said that people are afraid of Mashiach, because they're afraid what they might lose. This one is afraid of his possession. This one is afraid of all the friends he established. This one is afraid of all the contacts he established. This one is afraid of his position. So the Rebbe said that don't worry about that, because Geula is not excluding Golus. Geula means all the good things that you acquire during Golus, they're going to go out with you. What does it mean, go out? They'll be transformed. Anything that's not good, who wants to take it along? But whatever was good will only come along and be lifted to a higher place. And the second thing is, when Mashiach comes, we'll see that whatever Geula will be a result of whatever went through in Golus. In other words, right now, of course, we don't appreciate it, and we don't want it, and we're asking Hashem to stop it. But whatever we went through in the past of Golus, that itself is going to be the reason and the cause for all the things that we're going to have in Geula. But the Rebbe, now the example is what we always talk about. You read the Tzerech Aliyah. I mean, there's a mashal brought down. There's hundreds of mashalim brought in Chassidus where something goes down, but ultimately that's only for the purpose of growing up. Like a mashal is brought with a tree, and one of the ways of getting something to go very far is they would take a tree, a tall tree, bend it down to the ground, put something on it. In fact, there's a story with one of the generals of, I guess, David HaMelech, that a person sat on a tree. They wanted to get into a city, and they couldn't get in because of a very high wall, so he sat on the tree. Then they let go, and he went flying. They didn't have airplanes in those days, or helicopters, or parachutes. This was an old-fashioned way to do it. Sat down on the tree, pulled the tree down to the bottom, they let go, and he went flying over. In other words, the only reason why this thing goes up so high is because it's brought down so low. So what goes up is a result of the fact that it came down. So in a sense, any kind of down during the time of Golus is really the cause, and that's going to lead to the up. So when something's happening, we have to know that this is not, again, Chas V'Shalom, we ask for the Golus to end and we ask it to be over, but we understand that whatever is going on is part of a process which is going to lead to a Geula. And that's hinted in the word Geula, that the word Geula is actually made up of the words Geula. The Rebbe's argument is we had enough, not Chas V'Shalom, we don't need another second of it. I mean, of course, there's more to it, but for example, it says that by Haman, he was lifted to a very high place. He became the highest minister of the country. And then was the story of Purim. So it says in the Medrash that actually Hashem, when he wants to humble the Rasha, what does he do? He lifts him very high, so that when he humbles him, the fall will be a much greater fall. So if you don't see the whole plan, you see him lifting him, he's not panicking. But if you know the plan, then you realize you're picking this up in order to throw it down harder. Then you look at it totally different. And I guess the same is with the Haman of our generation. You know, he's lifted and got Nobel Prizes, and he's a statesman, and he's a president. All these aliyahs are the Tzav Kosov, will have the ultimate Yerida. But obviously, in order for that Yerida and that slamming down, which in certain ways we started to see it happening, because we see how many people in the world who before were supporting him came out openly saying that he's false and all that. In other words, the position that he had is starting to really lead to a much greater Yerida, and ultimately we'll see it in a complete way. But, and of course, again, we're not justifying, and we're not asking Chas V'Shalom, we don't want Yerida, we had enough. But the Yerida is what makes up the Aliyah. So here the Rebbe asks a question. Although the Egyptians recognized Hashem, and that was where we see that the Golus was included in the Geula, but the question is, the Yidden experience things that are far, far greater than only this alone, that the Egyptians recognize Hashem, if that was the only thing. So we can say this is all hinted in the Geula and the Aleph. But there were things that are far greater than that, where it says, for example, all the great things that happened for the Yidden. Not what the non-Jews did, what the Egyptians did, but what the Yidden experienced. Nigla aleihem melech machiam nochem HaKadosh Baruch Hu ga'olam b'chvoide v'atzmai, which is explained to mean that the highest levels of godliness, Atzmus Ein Sof, became revealed. And the whole purpose of going out of Mitzrayim was to go to Har Sinai, to receive the Torah, and to hear Anecha Hashem Elokecha Shetzisicha Meretz Mitzrayim, and that Hashem should speak to us face to face. This is something which is much greater of an experience, of a spiritual experience, than the fact that these Egyptians recognized Kani Hashem. And especially when we understand that going out of Mitzrayim was there to lead to Mashiach, all these are much, much greater things. True, what the Egyptians saw and they recognized, that's the Aleph, Aluf Shalom. Aluf Shalom means the master of the world. They recognize that Hashem is the master of the world. Okay, but it has to be that somewhere in the word Geula is also hinted all the other things that will happen as a result of Mashiach's coming. Not only the fact that the rest of the world will recognize that Hashem is Aluf Shalom, is the master of the world. So the Rebbe says it's true, and all the other things are also hinted in the Aleph. How's that? The letter Aleph has a few ways of translating and interpreting it. One is Aluf, which means Aluf is Shalaylam. Aluf is Shalaylam, and Aluf means a leader, a master, indicating that Hashem is the master of the world. Then there's another thing, the Gemara says that the Aleph is Maloshan Ulfin of Alima, to learn or to teach. And there's a pasuk where it says, Alefcha Chochma, I will teach you Chochma. Alef Chabina, I will teach you Bina. But the word is not limud, alefcha. So we see that Aleph means to teach, to understand knowledge of Torah. Then there's another thing that it says, a third thing, that Aleph are the same letters as the word Pella. Aleph, Lamed, Pei. If you rearrange the letters into Pei, Lamed, Aleph, spell Pella. Pella means a wonder. So the truth is that these three interpretations in the Aleph represent three things that are going to be accomplished when Mashiach comes. First of all, when Mashiach comes, what will be revealed in the world is that Hashem is the master of the world. And again, the place and the way that this will be expressed more than anything else is that the world will recognize it, meaning to say the nations of the world, the non-Jews, that they will recognize this. There's a famous sikha from the Rebbe where the Rebbe talks about the Gemara, where the Gemara discusses what will be the position of David HaMelech when Mashiach comes. David HaMelech is the king of the Jewish people, but then Mashiach will be the king, so what will David be? And the Gemara answers, Mashiach will be the Kesar, and David will be Bar Kesar, which in simple words means Mashiach will be the king, and David will be like the second to the king. So the Rebbe asks, why do they use the word Kesar? The Hebrew word for king is Melech. Kesar is not a Jewish terminology. It's found in Gemara, but it's not really... In fact, the Rebbe said the word Kesar probably comes from the term Caesar. So why use such a word? Why not Melech? And the Rebbe goes on to a number of questions and gives a lot of answers to it. But one point is the main point that's relevant here. And the Rebbe says, the Rebbe says, who is Caesar? Caesar was a king of Rome. Who was Rome? Rome was the one that destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. So we have to dafke use a terminology of royalty that comes from Rome. We can't use our Torah word, Melech. And the Rebbe's answer is that the reason why Kesar is used is because to a certain extent, the thing that characterizes Mashiach and Mashiach's uniqueness compared to all other kings of Israel is that the whole world will accept him as a king and the whole world will accept Hashem. In other words, the fact that the Yidden have a king, that's not a novelty. We had that already before. And the fact that the whole world will recognize Hashem through the king of the Yidden, that is a novelty. That's something which is new. So to a certain extent, that's the main chiddush, that's the main innovative aspect of what Mashiach is going to accomplish. So therefore, that's in simple terms what it means, Aluf HaShalayla, that the whole world, even that part of the world which until now didn't accept it, and that's what Aleinu L'Shabeich is all about. The whole Aleinu is all about the fact that the non-Jewish world will recognize that Hashem is the king, and they'll stop worshipping idols, and all the idols will be destroyed. I remember once I went to speak somewhere about the subject of Mashiach, and this was not in a Lubavitch community. There were other Chassidim there, there were Litvish people there, but the whole group was not Lubavitch. And the whole point was to clarify some of the issues about Mashiach. And if I'm not mistaken, this was before Gimel Tammuz, before Chav Zayin Adar. And there were, even then, there were all sorts of questions. In fact, then the questions were the reverse kind of questions. But how could you say the Rebbe is Mashiach? Mashiach has to be something which is like some sort of a phenomenon which is not from this world. All sorts of strange questions. But anyway, one of the people were very upset about the billboards and the signs where you publicize Mashiach. So I said, what's wrong? So he said, what do you mean what's wrong? It's out there in the street, everybody sees it. So I say, no. So he says, you know, I have an Italian painter. He came to my house and he asked me, what is this sign that's on top of this person's car? I was so embarrassed that I still don't get it. What were you embarrassed about? That he's asking me about Mashiach. I didn't know what was the problem. And finally, what came to was the problem was that here's an Italian person and he's talking about Mashiach, and that's a result because we put the signs out. So I still didn't know what was the problem. So to her, this was embarrassing. This was like, to her, it was considered desecrating holiness or desecrating Mashiach that you're bringing it out to the street, that even Italians are talking about it. So that's when I showed her, could you please read Aleinu to me, Alkei Nekava. What is it all about? The whole Alkei Nekava is about the fact that the non-Jewish world will recognize Hashem and they'll accept Hashem and they'll get rid of all the idols and they'll bow to Hashem. And the whole thing is about this. So the fact that people out there are asking about Hashem and they're inquiring and they're interested, want to know, this is one of the signs of what's supposed to happen when Mashiach comes, that Hashem's presence and Hashem's kingdom will be made known to the whole world. So therefore, that's the first thing. Alufi Shalayla means that everyone will recognize that the Eibishter is the master of the world. And all these people that the world, so to speak, was their world, they will also recognize that Hashem is the master of the world. That's number one. Then there's a higher inyan in the Aleph, that the Aleph comes from the word Ulfen of Alimud, learning. Alefcha Chachmal Teacher, Chachmal Teacher Bina. This now refers to a higher level of godliness, that on top of everything that we said before, there'll be a level of godliness be revealed in the world that has to do with learning, with Torah, which reveals Hashem's Chachma, Hashem's wisdom. And that came through Matan Torah. So in other words, yes, it's true, the Yidden did experience things which are far greater than just the fact that the Egyptians accepted Hashem. But these things which are far greater and higher than what the Yidden experienced, and then that what they experienced in addition to what the Egyptians recognized, these experiences of the Yidden are also hinted in the Aleph. That's what Aleph Chachma means, Aleph Chabina. That's Hashem giving the Yidden the Torah. Then comes the third thing. The Aleph is Rosh Tevis Pella. Not Rosh Tevis. The Aleph, the letters, Aleph, Lamed, Pei, if you rearrange them, spells Pella. What does Pella mean? Wonders. So this is the Pasuk, Yimei Tzeis. These are the miracles. The miracles that we had when we went out of Mitzrayim. And the miracles that we'll have when Mashiach comes. And the Flois also means the hidden secrets of Torah. We know that the word Nefloi, Shabbat Torah, this refers to the hidden secrets of Torah. There's a pasuk in Tehillim where it says, Gal Einai, Vabita Nefloi Smiteresecha. Open my eyes and we'll see the wonders that are in the Torah. The wonders that are in the Torah refers to the hidden part of the Torah. In fact, the Remez, that's where it hints to the word Lag Ba'imer, Gal Einai, Islamet Gimel. So this means that all three things that are going to happen when Mashiach comes are all hinted in that Aleph that's incorporated into the Geula. Number one, that the world is going to recognize Hashem. Number two, the whole world will be filled with the knowledge of Torah. And number three, that the wonders of Torah will be revealed. As we know that Mashiach is going to come, his main thing is going to be to reveal into the world Pnimis HaTorah, that he's going to teach and reveal the hidden secrets of Torah, which were unknown. That's why Mashiach comes, he'll be teaching Avraham Avinu, Yaakov Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu, he'll be teaching Moshe Rabbeinu. These are tzaddikim who already know the entire Torah. But because he's going to be teaching the hidden secrets of Torah, and the hidden secrets of Torah, that's infinite. There's no end. And therefore, he'll be able to teach them that as well. So in a certain sense, we can say that all the great things we'll be experiencing once Mashiach comes, it's all already hinted just in that one little letter, the Aleph. That's what the Aleph represents. When the Aleph goes into the word Geula, and it comes out to be Geula. Then there's another thing, which is the reverse. The second point that Rebbe brought out was that the avodah that we do in Golus leads to Geula. And even though this sounds like a very simple concept, but it's interesting that, for example, in this campaign, which we call Mashiach campaign, we find that one of the issues that people have a hard time with is that Geula is something which is so exceptional and so godly and so spiritual and so phenomenal that how can we can't be the ones to make it happen. We have to leave it up to Hashem. He's going to make it happen. Like it's so huge, so enormous that it's not for us. And therefore when we start talking about you do this or do that, So that's why the Rebbe says, Adrabu, Geula is made up of Golus. That what we do in Golus, that's what brings the union of Geula. And not only is our Aveda going to bring the first thing of Geula, but even the Torah that will be revealed, the Pnimis HaTorah that will be revealed, in other words, all the greatest things of Geula, even those things that will go on forever and ever, it's also a result of our Aveda in the time of Golus. So on one hand, Golus is the time of concealment, and a time where it looks like we're just struggling to do things right, and we're struggling with the different tests we have. But in reality, this Avodah Golus, this is what makes up, this down is what brings the union of Gula. And the Rebbe says that these three things we also find in Mashiach himself. Mashiach, it says, will be a king, and he'll be a teacher. He'll be a melech, and he'll be a rab. In fact, I remember in those sikhs when the Rebbe spoke about Aseilach HaRav, that every person should appoint a Rav for themselves. The Rebbe spoke about it in a way that not everyone is going to have it so easy. Many people don't want to have a Rav. Because if I have a Rav, that means I'm restricted, I'm limited. I have to follow what someone else tells me to do. And without a Rav, I have the flexibility to do as I wish and as I understand. In fact, the Rebbe said that Asay l'charav, Asay sometimes means force it upon yourself, even if it's difficult. And why did the Rebbe come out with the mitzvah Asay l'charav? Who knows? We don't understand these things. Why the Rebbe comes out with a certain mitzvah at a certain point? Of course, the Rebbe explained then that if a person would ask their mashpia whether they should do something or not, this would prevent a lot of mistakes that people make. The Rebbe also added that even if a person wouldn't ask their mashpia, once they have a mashpia, and they would even consider asking their mashpia, just thinking about it, they already know that what they want to do is wrong. Because they're already imagining, if I would ask my mashpia this question, what would my mashpia say? They can imagine already the mashpia would tell them, don't do this. And that's already enough. So again, why the Rebbe comes out with a certain mitzvah at a certain time is unknown to us. It's a heavenly thing, it's a godly thing. But one of the things that the Rebbe said during that time, and I think he said it more than once, was that if each one of us accepts upon ourselves a Rav, then we'll be zeicher that the Yidden collectively will be able to have the collective Rav, which is Mashiach. In other words, Mashiach has it in two general functions. One as a king, a melech, and one is as a teacher. So, basically, these are the same three things we just spoke about. Because when the Geula comes, it'll be revealed to the whole world that Hashem is the king, and he's the master, and he's the ruler of the world. So Mashiach, who has to reveal it, is a king. And through his kingdom, that reveals Hashem's kingdom in the world. In fact, that's the reason why Hashem told us B'chlal to have a king. Then the second thing is that Hashem is revealing the Torah to us. That's why Mashiach is also a Rav. And being that Hashem is going to reveal to us the deepest depths and the deepest secrets of Torah, that's why Mashiach will be a teacher of Pnimis HaTorah. That's what it means. Torah Chadashim Iti Teitzei, the Mashiach will teach us Pnimis HaTorah. In fact, every year when this time of the year would come around, I mean the time of the year we're preparing for Shavuos. This Shabbos is Shabbos and Baruch Hem Sivan. And from Shabbos and Baruch Hem Sivan, we already begin the preparations for Shavuos, for Shchodesh Sivan. That's when the Yidden camped by the mountain, and that's when they were united. So Hashem said, now you're ready to receive the Torah. And then the Yidden said, Nasa v'nishma. And Hashem said to the Yidden that you're my nation, and you're a nation of kings and priests. And then finally the Torah was given. So generally speaking, before Shavuos, we prepare for Matan Torah. All our preparations is for this purpose, to receive Torah. However, now, when we think of Shavuos, we're thinking of preparation, not just for Matan Torah, but for Hashem revealing to us Pnimis HaTorah. Torah Chadoshim Iti Teitzim. That's what our preparations are for. That even though every Shavuos was Zoicha, that Hashem gives the Torah once again, we're hoping and praying and waiting and anticipating that this Shavuos will be a re-experiencing Matan Torah, but in a totally different way, in a way that Mashiach will be revealing to us and to the entire world the deepest secrets of Torah that were never revealed before. There's a sikha where the Rebbe once explained, Rebbe was talking about people who don't see the need to learn Chassidus. And they say that, you know, for many thousands of years this was hidden and wasn't learned, it wasn't studied. So why can't we do the same now? And the Rebbe gives various answers to this question. But one of the interesting things that Rebbe points out is that when the Torah was given, to a certain extent, at the time that the Torah was given, the esoteric part of the Torah was more revealed than the revealed part of the Torah. It says that when the Torah was given, the Yidden were given the opportunity to see the Merkava. Merkava is the chariot. The chariot refers to a very high level in the spiritual world. This is considered the greatest spiritual prophetic vision that was ever seen by a Navi, by a prophet. And at that point, when the Torah was given, every single Jew saw that prophecy. So in a sense, the esoteric part of Torah was revealed at the time that the Torah was given. Later it became more hidden. So this is what Matan Torah is all about. It's the time that we prepare ourselves for receiving Torah. But now, in the circumstance that we're in, we're supposed to be preparing ourselves to receive Pnimius HaTorah, to be receiving the secrets of the Torah that will be revealed through Mashiach. And even though on the surface, Shavuos is Shavuos, not really Geula Mashiach, but the Rebbe always points out that Shavuos is very strongly connected to Mashiach. How's that? Number one, Shavuos is the yard site of David HaMelech. David HaMelech is the source of Mashiach, Malchus Beis David. In fact, that's the reason why we read Rus. In many communities, we don't do it in Chabad, but in many communities, they read the book of Ruth on Shavuos. Shavuos is also the yard site of the Baal Shem Tov. And the Baal Shem Tov is the one that he revealed to Chassidus in the world, which prepares us for Mashiach. To complete it, the Rebbe says that means that Shavuos is related to all three, to Moshe Rabbeinu, to David HaMelech, and to the Baal Shem Tov. Moshe Rabbeinu, he gave us the Torah on that day, that's the Mem. The Yud is Yisrael, the Baal Shem Tov, and the Dalet is David, that's the word Miyad. So that Miyad, which is always used as a term, the Mashiach should come instantly, imminently, that's what Shavuos stands for, Miyad. In fact, the Rebbe would always say, we'll talk about this maybe next week, if Chas V'Shalom was still in Galus, that Shavuos is the time to make a haklata to Chitas. Because Chitas, Chumash, is the book of Moshe Rabbeinu, Tzilim is the book of David HaMelech, and Tanya is the book of Baal Shem Tov, is the Baal Shem Tov's teaching of Chassidus. What? The Yud is Yisrael, Baal Shem Tov. The Dalet is David, Malki, Mashiach, and the Mem is Moshe. Okay, we'll stop here.